Well, last week, at the end of our worship time, the Holy Spirit had us take a time kind of like today, but specifically the word that came to me was wait. We needed to wait on the Holy Spirit. And we know sometimes that's a hard word to hear, to wait, to wait. Standing here last week, my thoughts were tempted to go to the thoughts of, shouldn't we just move on? Shouldn't we just keep going? What are other people thinking about what's going on right now? How many sighs did I hear? Everybody, let's just take a moment right now. Take a deep breath in and let it out. That's a sigh. That's a sigh. You know, that's a prayer. The psalmist said in Psalm 38:9, he says, all my sighing is not hidden from you. All my sighing is not hidden from you. Now, not when I make you necessarily sigh, but when you just sigh naturally, that's a prayer. That's a prayer. When you're working on something and you're like, that's a prayer. Don't have to say anything for that to be a prayer. God understands. Our sighing is not hidden from him. But I think about waiting. I think about waiting in those times that we're like, and my thought goes to my kids, who sometimes I have to tell that they need to wait before they run into the next thing or run to the next thing or get to do the next thing. Some of them a little bit more often than others, I have to tell. They need to wait. I want to go outside and I want to play, Dad. Okay, well, did you do mealtime helper yet? No, I don't want to do mealtime helper. I just want to go outside and play. Well, you need to go do mealtime helper. Oh, fine. Okay, I'm done. Wait, wait, wait. Let me check and make sure it's done right. Right? We deal with that. But us adults are also not exempt from needing to learn to wait. Especially even as adults in our fast-paced society today. We want to get something accomplished today. We just want to know we got something done today, right? And if we don't, then that list of to-do hangs over our heads, and the longer it takes to get to us, the more get us to it, the more we feel our blood boil, don't we? Like I think about, I worked at Scott's Lawn Service, and they were doing this blood pressure screening and health checks at the beginning of our workday. And it was for our health insurance to figure out how much we needed to pay depending on how healthy we were. All right, so it was supposed to be that they were good screenings. We were supposed to get good results from these things. So I go in there, 8 o'clock, and there's someone in front of me, so I'm waiting for a minute or so while they finish with screening this person. And then I sit down, and I'm looking at the clock, and it's 8:01. I hear the phone start to ring. And I don't know about you, about your job, but at least there, when I worked there, everything was about performance. And I got to make sure that the sooner I can get started on this, the sooner I can get to this part. And you go kind of like a competition throughout the day of, can I beat my record time from yesterday? Can I get ahead of that? And there's just this sense of I got to stay on top of things. I got to keep going. And I'm looking at the clock, and it's 8:01, 8:02, and the lady has me sit down. She takes my blood pressure, and she says, oh, it's kind of high. Maybe we should wait a few minutes. Okay. I'm watching the clock, 8:03, 8:04, 8:05. She takes it again. She says, it's actually higher now. I said, the longer you have me sitting here, the higher it's going to go. I got to get to work. She went with the first screening. But sometimes in life, we got to wait for it. We got to wait. Those street signs with the orange hand just blinks at you. And the ones that talk to you, too. Some of them, they talk and they say, wait, wait. And how long you stand there, they keep saying, wait, wait, wait. In the 80s, if you remember the 80s, there was a Heinz commercial. And back in the 80s, Heinz ketchup came in a glass bottle. And there was a frustration from some of their, probably a lot of their customers, that, it just takes forever to get the Heinz ketchup out of the ketchup bottle. You can't make it come out any faster. I have a couple pictures today. If you want to put that first picture up there. Sorry. Just a couple pictures, and I think I found this as I was looking for a picture of a Heinz ketchup bottle. But yeah, it took us 3 hours to write them. They're not even done yet. And then that next one. And this is actually in a commercial in the 80s. That's why it looks like that, right? Because it's 80s commercials. They weren't as clear as what they are today. But this in this commercial, this guy, this actor, I think he is actually one of the guys in the TV show Friends. He stages this ketchup bottle up here at the top of a roof of like a 3 or 4 story building, and he looks down and he sees a hot dog vendor down there. So he puts this bottle up here at the top, and then he just kind of takes his time getting down the stairs. He slides down the banister, takes his time to get downstairs, and gets to the hot dog vendor, and waits in line, and then gets to the guy, the hot dog vendor says, "Hey, you want ketchup on that or what?" And he says, "No thanks, I got it covered." And he takes out his hot dog that he just got that doesn't have any ketchup on it, and he doesn't do it like this. He doesn't put it in front of him. Oh no, he's got to be cool about it. And he goes like this, and he catches the ketchup as it's coming off. Well, the TV shows that he catches the ketchup, and then it cuts away to show this nice line of ketchup that's going across the hot dog and back across. And I have to wonder, it's like, well, what happened after he got his hot dog full? Did the ketchup just continue to pour out of the sea? I mean, it makes a mess on the concrete. I mean, that doesn't really go good. But anyway, their slogan, their motto at that time was, "The best things come to those who wait." Those who wait. Sadly, Heinz ketchup has also succumbed to the fast-paced society that we live in now, and they've switched to plastic squeeze bottles. I was just at Walmart on Friday night, and I specifically looked around to see if I could find any glass Heinz ketchup bottles. Not a single one. Except for like the chili ketchup, some kind of specialty ketchup. And that one has a wider mouth at the top, so it's easier to get out. But these are the things that we have to wait for. What are the things we have to wait for? Sometimes learning a lesson in life means having to wait until we are ready to learn it. Or experiencing an opportunity to learn that same lesson over and over and over and over again, right? And meanwhile, God and everyone else has to wait on us to learn the lesson before they can give us the next thing. Some things my parents told me growing up, I didn't listen to, if you can believe that. It's not anybody in here. I know you guys all are very holy like that and probably listen to your parents, but I didn't listen to everything my parents had to say. But later in life, those words came back to me, and I realized there was some wisdom in what they said, and now I pass that on to my own kids. I say the same things that I heard my parents saying when I was growing up, trying to adult and get things going for kids being independent and whatnot like that. So, but sometimes the things that we ask God for, we also need to wait for. As Ecclesiastes 3 says, "For everything there is a time and a purpose under the heavens." For everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under the heavens. Today is Pentecost Sunday, or the 50th day since we celebrated Resurrection or Easter Sunday. After Jesus rose from the dead, the Bible says that he appeared to many people over a period of 40 days before ascending to heaven. And during that time, so he died on Good Friday, he rose again on Easter Sunday, and then for 40 days from the time that he rose to the time that that he goes to heaven, there's 40 days, a 40-day period that passes. And so during that time in Acts 1, it tells us that what he did during that time was, number one, he gave us many convincing proofs that he was alive. He gave many convincing proofs that he was alive, including being able to eat food. The disciples were astonished that Jesus was standing in front of them and thinking that he was a ghost, like they thought when he was walking across the water at them. You know, they thought that he was a ghost. And he said, "Do you have anything to eat?" And he says, and the Bible says that he ate it in their presence. He ate a piece of broiled fish in their presence, okay? Have you seen the old movie Ghost Dad? I don't know if it was in the 80s or the 90s. I didn't bother to look it up. I know it was a Bill Cosby movie. But in this Ghost Dad movie, the actor that's played by Bill Cosby dies, but he doesn't realize apparently that he's dead. And he goes home, and he's standing in his house, and he grabs a glass of something and goes to drink it and just pours on the floor. Now that'd be a ghost, but that's not what Jesus is. He is alive. He was alive. He had flesh and body. And he actually had the disciples touch him, including doubting Thomas, putting his hand in his side. I said, "Touch, stop doubting and believe. Stop doubting and believe." With a spear went in my side. And Thomas says, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus says, "You believe because you have seen. Blessed are those who have not seen, like us today, and yet believe." Amen? Amen. So that's one of the things. Another thing he talked about was he spoke to them about the kingdom of God, what the kingdom of God was like. And then number three, during that time, he also gave them this command. Jesus said in verse 4 of Acts 1, he said, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." And then after that, he ascended into heaven. And 10 days later is the day of Pentecost. The day of Pentecost comes. Now, Pentecost isn't some fancy word that means, you know, like Holy Spirit baptism or, you know, anything special like that. It just means 50th. That's all it means. Pentecost, it means 50th. That's it. However, two of our 16 statements of fundamental truths are based on what happened that day and subsequently afterwards. Number one, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And number two, the initial physical evidence of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Those are two of our 16 statements of fundamental truths. The baptism in the Holy Spirit is the gift that Jesus told his disciples in Acts 1:4 that they needed to wait for. And this gift was going to accomplish a few things through a believer's life. In Acts 1:8, Jesus says, "You will receive power." Somebody say power. Okay, you're still awake. That's good. "When the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses," can you say witnesses, "in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Now, Jesus didn't specifically say how the Holy Spirit was going to come upon them, only that when he did, that they would receive power and that they would be his witnesses, both locally there in the city of Jerusalem and globally to the world at that time. But either way, they had to wait. They had to wait. Just 10 days. They didn't know they had to wait 10 days, but that's how long it was. But they had to wait to receive the promised gift. And what did they do during those 10 days? I think this is also significant as well. What did they do during those 10 days of waiting? Yes, Acts 1:14. "They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers." And it wasn't just these few, but the next verse in verse 15 tells us it was about 120 that gathered together at that time. Now that's the context for what we're going to read today. If you got your Bibles, let's open to Acts chapter 2. But you knew I was going to be going here today, didn't you? Acts chapter 2. And we're going to start in verse 1. Acts chapter 2 and verse 1. It says, "When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place." They chose to be obedient. That's good. "Suddenly a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them," somebody say all of them "were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard the sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, 'Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, 'What does this mean?'" What does this mean? We know what it means today. It meant the beginning of the church. That's what it meant. It was this day that God chose to send the Holy Spirit using tongues of different languages from all the different nations that happened to be represented there in Jerusalem at that time. There's a time for every purpose under the heaven. And God got a twofer out of this. Not only did he baptize the believers with the Holy Spirit and began the church age, but he did it at a time when Jews from every nation from around the known world happened to be in Jerusalem for a festival called Shavuot, or Feast of Weeks, which is the remembrance of when Moses received the law, the Ten Commandments, from God on Mount Sinai. So that's why they were there. But God chose that time, 50 days after Easter, to send the baptism of the Holy Spirit and to begin the church. And with the awe that these new believers and those who were witnessing what was happening, the first sermon was given at the first church service. And 3,000 were added to their number that day. Exponential growth in the church. And as you read through the rest of the book of Acts, you see that the word of God continued to flourish, and there was more believers that were coming in, and they were being added day by day by day to the fellowship. And let me just say, it was the gospel message that was given, not the speaking in tongues, that caused the 3,000 to come into the kingdom that day. It's the gospel message. That is the focus of what God gives us through the gifts. But for 120 gathered in prayer, there was something that happened that day. Something physical, something audibly visible that happened that day, that marked the move of the believers, these followers of Christ, from practicing their faith privately to now being a bold witness for Jesus publicly. Changes happened in their lives that catapulted what they had heard and seen into their lifestyle and before or in front of others in the community. Our Assemblies of God forefathers sought the scriptures concerning the effects of the baptism in the Holy Spirit, laying out four things that help characterize what someone who has been baptized, God bless you, in the Holy Spirit would experience. Number one, an overflowing fullness of his Spirit that was not available prior to Jesus being glorified. John 7 and verse 37 says that for him who believes, rivers of living water, Jesus said, would pour forth out of them. And by this, John kind of clarifies, by this he meant the Spirit who had not yet been given at that time because Jesus had not been glorified. Okay? But when this Holy Spirit did come, then they were filled with the Spirit, power to witness, and we see that in Acts 4:8, when Peter is standing before the Sanhedrin, and he begins to speak boldly in front of them. Okay? Previously, this is the Peter who ran away when people questioned him about, are you a follower of Jesus? He previously ran away. But now he had been given power to witness. And these Sanhedrin leaders, they took note that these were common, ordinary men and that they had been with Jesus. How many know when you are a follower of Christ, when you have been filled with the Holy Spirit, what you say is going to sound like what Jesus said? That's kind of cool. Number two, a deepened reverence for God. It's another character trait. Acts 2 and verse 43. After the apostles were baptized in the Holy Spirit, everyone was filled with awe at the signs that the apostles performed. There's a deeper reverence for the things of God. Wow, this is not just a God that we read about in this word. This is a God in, as Pastor Gary says, a God in real time. He's a God in real time. He works and lives and does his work in us right now. It's not something that we heard about before. It's something that he does right now in our midst, and something that we can trust he's going to do tomorrow. All right? As Hebrews 12:28 declares, we are to worship God with awe and reverence. That's how we worship God, when we consider how great our God is. Wow, he is so far beyond me. He is so much more powerful than I am. He is so much more successful than I am. He has a lot more. He has all the resources in the world, a lot more. And he chooses to give those to us freely. The Holy Spirit deepens that for us. The third thing, an intensified dedication to God and his work. Acts 2 and verse 42, the early believers devoted themselves to four things: to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. How many know that's what we do on a Sunday morning? That's what we do. We read the word, we pray together, we fellowship, and usually we have some snacks out there. Okay? All four of those things. Those who have an intensified dedication to God and his work want to be at church. They want to be here with the other believers. They want to do those things together. And number four, a more active love for Christ, his word, and the lost. Mark 16:20 talks about the disciples. They went out. They went out to share the gospel. They reached out. They did outreaches. They went out to share the gospel, and God was working with them, confirming what it was that they said. So let me ask you, do you have these things happening in your life? Are there things that are coming from your life that would fall into one of those four things or all of those four things? If so, maybe you can mark a period of time in your life, a moment, an event, a day, something that changed in your life, when you went from just believing in Jesus to truly following Christ. Now it's a public witness. I don't just believe that Jesus, I remember growing up, I was Presbyterian church. I believed, thank you Jesus for dying for my sins. Now I'm good. I'm so glad I didn't live in the Old Testament times. Right? And that was it. I could go and live however I wanted to live. But when God did something in my life, when I rededicated my life to the Lord, when he saved me, but he baptized me in the Holy Spirit a few days later. And I remember getting prayed for. And I wasn't praying for the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I was just praying. I just wanted whatever God wanted to give. And I remember walking out of that place where I was being prayed for up at the altar. And I remember this heaviness in my body. Didn't know what it was at the time. This heaviness was just the presence of God on my life. And I remember going down to my knees, and I remember my hand reaching out and grabbing the edge of the pew. Fortunately, I didn't hit my head on the pew. But I went down, and I remember just feeling prompted to speak. And so I opened my mouth, and what came out was this tongue, something I had never spoke before. Alex Zellman, our newest board member, he got baptized in the Holy Spirit 2 years ago. On a Pentecost Sunday. And I think about the changes that I've seen in his life. When I was talking about him as being a board member, the consideration that we had before us as members of this church to say, is Alex Zellman the next board member that God wants to have on the board? And I think about all those things that I talked about. And then I think about what started that. 2 years ago, he got baptized in the Holy Spirit. In the last year and a half to 2 years, all of those things happened. And I think, wow. How cool is that? That God knew. God knew. And I see those things that we just talked about from the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that statement of fundamental truth, those four things that characterize someone who has been baptized in the Holy Spirit. I see those things coming out of how he serves. I see those things as he participates in the board meetings. I'm like, wow, that's so cool. Now, his testimony may not look like yours, and your testimony may not look like mine, and that's okay. That's okay. But the Holy Spirit looks different. And the baptism of the Holy Spirit looks different in each one of us. It's the same Spirit, but he operates differently in each one of us. Can I get an amen on that? Yeah. But here's an issue that we can get caught up in. What does the initial physical evidence really look like? What does it really look like? We can get caught up in thinking that it has to be a certain way, or there's a certain process, or it has to happen at a certain place, or it has to sound like French or German or Spanish or Japanese or Korean or some other world language like that. We think, well, if it's got to sound like that, and if it doesn't, then I don't know that I really got baptized in the Holy Spirit. Listen, there are many different languages in our day. Many different languages. When I think about the 7,000 or close to 7,000 unreached people groups in the world today, 7,000 meaning that they haven't heard the name of Jesus Christ before, 7,000 unreached people groups. Just think, could they all possibly have their own dialect. Every single one. That doesn't mean like 100 of them speak Spanish and 100 of them speak French or whatever. It could be that they have their own dialect. When I think about the Witwickies going to Paraguay, they learn Spanish thinking that was the language that was spoken there. They get to the community, it's not Spanish that they're speaking, but Guarani. Okay? Doesn't sound like a world language. One I had heard before, they talked about it. There's a lot of different languages out there, okay? I just bring that up to have you think about that. You're not, when you get baptized in the Holy Spirit and there is the physical evidence of speaking in another tongue, it doesn't necessarily sound like a language. It doesn't necessarily, it can. Lots of times it does, but it doesn't have to. And I just want you to consider this too as we're talking about this. What if someone was not able to speak? What if someone was not able to speak? Does that mean that they're not able to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? I don't think so. I don't think so. Our God is limitless, and he can do whatever he wants. We need to stop trying to pigeonhole him and put him in a specific state to say, okay, it has to happen this way. He's going to always work this way. This guy I used to work with, he asked me, John, how many times do I have to pray this prayer for God to answer it? 99 times? Like, where do you get 99 anyway? That's not even like a heavenly number. It's not 7 or 3 or, you know, whatever. It's like 99. I don't know where he got that from. But anyway, it's like, no, it's not about that. It's not about the systems and the processes that we try to do. Our God is limitless. And we need to be open to what it is that God wants to do. Amen? Yeah. So I think we need to not focus on what the initial physical evidence looks like or sounds like, rhymes with, right? And instead focus more on genuinely asking the Holy Spirit for his baptism and just being open to what God wants to give us, not putting any limits on him. Two things to remember. Number one, anyone can be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now, there's a spiritual gift of tongues, which is separate than Holy Spirit baptism and initial physical evidence. This is for any believer, any believer. This, the spiritual gift of speaking in tongues, has to have an interpreter, and it's a separate thing, okay, that we don't, not everybody gets. Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians 12 that the same Spirit distributes different gifts as he sees fit. And so we don't always have that same gift, but we can all receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then number two, there's initially some kind of physical evidence to show that one is baptized in the Holy Spirit. But a life lived with power to witness, a deeper reverence for God and a deeper dedication to him and a burden for the lost can all characterize one who has been baptized in the Holy Spirit. It's good to know, right? It's good to know. Above all, we want whatever happens here at Friendship Church to be genuinely of God. Because if we take it anything into our own hands, then it's us manufacturing it and not the Holy Spirit doing it. And we want to see the Holy Spirit do what he wants to do. But just because we aren't sure of how God's going to work, because he does new things, doesn't mean that we should limit him from what he intends to do. Now, some believe that the baptism in the Holy Spirit and these other spiritual gifts were only meant to help get the church going, and now they're done. But we see the scripture speaking otherwise. Whereas we see that how the Holy Spirit was initially sent to the apostles was a one-time event in the matter of how it happened, okay? The violent wind that came from heaven that filled the house, the tongues of fire, whatever seemed to be like tongues of fire. Again, we're trying to use English words to describe something that's happening of heaven. The tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And the speaking in tongues that was for all nations in Jerusalem at that time who could understand what was being said. That specific circumstance, those specific things that happened, that was a one-time event, okay? That was how God chose to manifest himself. But as we look at through the rest of the book of Acts, in Acts 8, we hear about these Samaritans, these half-Jews, that after Philip preached to them, gave them the gospel message, they believed, or it says they accepted the word of God. I think that's cool because that means that they accepted Jesus because he is the word made flesh. When they accepted the word of God, then Peter and John go there and they lay hands on the believers and they receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And something happens that, again, is physically, audibly, visible, such that Simon the sorcerer, who used to try to wow people with his magic arts, is now saying, I want that. Can I? How much does that cost? Can I get that? Right? He's wanting to buy the gift of God. Acts 10 in verse 44 and 45. The story is Cornelius. He's a Roman officer, Roman centurion. He is a God-fearing man, but he hasn't heard about Jesus. God gives him a vision to go ask for Peter. At the same time, Peter's receiving a vision saying, hey, you need to go and hang out with those who are unclean, considered unclean by the Jewish culture. And so God confirms that. Peter goes, hangs out with them, gives the gospel message, and as he's doing that, Acts 10, 44 and 45, the Gentiles receive, accept Jesus, the word of God, and they are baptized in the Holy Spirit, and they begin speaking in tongues. And that confirmed for Peter and all the other Jewish believers that came with him that, hey, what God did for us, he's doing for all the Gentiles as well. And now Peter in Acts 11 then is having to defend his actions, and they say in Acts 11 something along the lines of, so God has granted even the Gentiles repentance that leads to life. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is for all people. And then in Acts 19, verse 6, Paul takes the road to the interior, meets up with some Ephesian believers, and says, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they say, well, we haven't even heard there was a Holy Spirit. And then Paul says, well, what baptism were you baptized into? And they said, the baptism of John. And Paul said, well, John's baptism was a baptism of repentance that talked about he was the precursor to Jesus coming. And so when they heard that, they were baptized in the name of Jesus, Acts 19 says, and then Paul laid hands on them and they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Okay? And so we see that the effect of the baptism of the Holy Spirit continue on in multiple different ways. And further, as the Apostle Paul outlines the order of worship in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 14, he's talking about this is how we do this in order, okay? We have speaking in tongues, but if we do that, then we need to make sure that there's an interpretation of that. That's, again, the spiritual gift of speaking in tongues. And then that we should not forbid, at the end of 1 Corinthians 14, he says, we should not forbid people speaking in tongues in the church. That's something for today. These scriptures, this is New Testament I'm talking about right now. This is for us today. This is New Covenant. God has outlined in the new covenant, the New Testament, the principles, the doctrines that we need to conduct ourselves as the church today. And so those are things that are available to us today, not just to begin the church age. Do we want to be like the early church in Acts? Nobody? Just me? Do we want to be like the early church in Acts? Yes, yes. Then we need to believe like how they believed. To seek God for all that he wants to give, everything that he will do in us to give us power to be his witnesses, and not get hung up on what that looks like for each one of us. As we close today, I believe that the Holy Spirit has put this specific message on my heart because he wants us to wait and pray. Wait and pray at the end of our service today. There are some in here who have not been baptized in the Holy Spirit. That's okay. Maybe they're skeptical. Maybe they've asked before, but nothing's happened. So we're going to end our time together waiting on God for the gift of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But not just that. Not just that. This is a time of prayer. We should end our service. After we hear the word of God, we should apply what we've been hearing at the end of our service. And so we want to have a time of prayer here at the end of the service. I believe the Holy Spirit wants us to have a time of prayer at the end of the service. So we're going to pray for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We're also going to pray, if there's anybody in this room that doesn't know Jesus Christ and wants to make that decision today, because you need to have made that decision and asked Jesus into your heart before you can receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We do see that modeled here, is that it always happened after someone gave their life to the Lord. So maybe it's that we need to take that first step of salvation today. So if there's anybody in here that says, okay, I want to make the decision for Jesus today, then we're going to pray for them as well today. And maybe there's some other things that we need to pray about today. Some people maybe just have requests represented. We talked about those. Holy Spirit was talking about some of those things during the worship service today, the worship time today, when if we're discouraged, if we need a healing or whatever that may be, we're going to pray about those things as well. So I don't exactly know how it's going to look. I just know that that's what we're supposed to do. So I'm going to have everybody stand. And I'm going to pray. And as I pray, if there's someone in here that has a need that they want to have prayed for, if someone is ready to make Jesus the Lord of their life, or if someone is ready to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit, as I pray, I just want you to raise your hand. And I want those around you to come and pray for you, ask you, specifically what it is you want prayer for, and then to pray for those things today. And that's how we're going to end today. Father, we just give you thanks today for your words. We give you thanks today that we can read your words and we can receive your words and we can accept your words. the things that you have said, the things that you have spoken through your people and through your own mouth when you are walking as Jesus on this earth. Lord, we give you thanks for that today, that we can have these great and precious promises, this truth that we can cling to, and that we would also know that we can be open for you doing something new today in our midst. Lord, we want to just be open to whatever your Holy Spirit wants to do today. We don't want to put limits on you, God. We want to be ready to receive that which you have for us today. It doesn't matter how long we've walked with Jesus. It doesn't matter what other people think about us. We raise our hand today that whatever that reason that you have us on our, have on our hearts to raise our hand today, God, I just pray for that boldness to raise hands today. Lord, for whatever request that somebody has. And Lord, I just pray that that you would guide others around them, no matter what stage they are in their walk with you, Lord, to come and to pray. That we would end this service, God, praying for one another. Lord, bearing one another's burdens, encouraging one another in the things that you are saying in our hearts. Thank you, Father. Thank you that you choose to meet with us. Thank you that your Spirit is in this room right now ministering to hearts. I pray that hearts would be open today. I pray that hearts would be humble today. And hearts would be ready to receive whatever that is that you want to give us today. In Jesus' name.